Make betting on the football season super easy. Betfred's new app makes it super simple to place your bet and even offers protection. Take advantage of the player prop protection, bad beat bonuses, rewards program, and more. Betfred pays back for your business. The newly improved app comes with more markets, more bonuses, and more action when you bet with Betfred. You are a big fish in a small pond, and you are going to feel it. This is the Doc Talk Podcast, presented by Betfred Sports, 2023, episode 19. Dr. Rob's already three beers in, man. You are three beers in. We haven't even started recording yet.
I'm two in.
You're two and a half in.
Dude, I just popped the top on this. I haven't even had a sip yet.
Man, are you thirsty?
I am always thirsty. I'm thirsty for wins.
I love it. You down the first two, and you're like, they're not that potent. I'm like...
Well, it was literally like a couple of like 3-2 beers from... I got to check. I think it was Cody from Arkansas, although they were delicious. They were now, great beers.
The one I'm drinking, which you've already had, which is the Lost 40 Brewing Company. Month of Sunday is the name of it. That's a 5.5, and it's not overly powerful, but it's not a 3-2 beer.
Yeah, the other one I had was like a dessert beer, though. I mean, it was more sugar than alcohol.
Because it was what? Just a plain old Pilsner, right?
I'd have to go check and see what that was.
Yeah, it was the Pilsner you grabbed. You had that as we were recording the diagnosis, and that went down like water. That went down like a 12-ounce can of water.
I mean, it was tasty water.
Yeah. So, you know, we got one more. Are you going to drink that or am I going to drink
that? No, that's
that?
Yours.
Are you sure?
100%.
100%. Hey, if you're listening on iTunes right now, if you're listening on Google Podcast, if you're listening on Audible, if you're listening on Podbean, go ahead and hit that like button and make sure to subscribe to the podcast. That way you get it as soon as it comes out. Also, if you're watching on our YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button right now. Our YouTube channel subscriber is growing each and every week. Want to keep it growing. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button. That way you know exactly when new content comes out, whether that's a new podcast, the Doc's Diagnosis, or even some shorts. We gotta get the YouTube shorts in there, Rob.
That's kind of like the TikTok shorts.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. We don't have a lot of shorts up there right now. We're going to I had a brutal attempt this weekend. Owen laughed. It was funny because I screwed it up so bad.
It's like the Heisman House commercial. We're going to go do a TikTok.
Yeah, the phone rang and it was Owen. And the first thing I said, I know I screwed it up. So thanks for pointing that out, Owen. I appreciate my lack of editing abilities in different dimensions.
Dude, yeah, that was pretty brutal.
There we go. There's Owen.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was a week. For how much editing I've done in my life.
I respect the attempt, but.
Yeah. I'm getting so old. I'll be 53 this week.
Damn, happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks. I'll be 53 on Friday. And I'm getting old. I'm getting senile, and he's starting to point it out to me on a regular basis. Of just he like holds my hand. He's becoming more patient with me. You can see that he's going to take care of me in my old age. At least I'm hoping he is.
Well, maybe, but the whole senile thing.
Yeah,
it's not the fact that you're getting senile. It's just there's only so much space up there. There's only so much information you can pack into a human brain.
So I got a question for you. My father passed away with dementia, right? So is dementia hereditary?
Some are. There are some forms of it that can be.
Okay.
That is not remotely 100%. And there's multiple types of dementia. I mean, some are hereditary, some are not. You've got... and there's a lot of things that can cause it in somebody who would not otherwise get it at all.
Like he was an alcoholic, smoked like four packs a day.
And those are two very big predictors for it, quite frankly. There's a little bit of killing the brain cells with alcohol that does happen. The smoking's probably one of the bigger ones. And a lot of times if somebody's a heavy smoker, you get kind of the common term for it's microvascular dementia. It's a case of where, you smoke, it kind of fries blood vessels everywhere,
yeah,
including the brain. And so if you're not getting blood to certain parts of the brain, it's sort of like getting literally thousands upon thousands of microstrokes.
So, and And he had a quadruple bypass, I think, when he was my age. So when he was about 53, 54, he had a quadruple bypass. So the blood flow probably wasn't the best.
And that's the thing, is that when you're in that situation, you've got somebody with multiple risk factors, and you add to that with the smoking. And if there was, you had said some alcohol involved.
Obviously. No, he was an alcoholic.
Okay, if you're a full-blown alcoholic, again, that definitely adds to the picture as well.
Yeah, that's why I take my statins on a nightly basis.
So here would actually be kind of the bigger question. When you look across the family,
yeah,
uncles, older cousins, older siblings.
Dad's the only one that I know that had the dementia.
Yeah. It's probably an isolated thing.
Okay. Good. That makes me feel a little bit better. So I'm not losing it then.
Let's not get carried away. You are an Iowa fan.
Oh, thank you.
And a Cyclo fan, Northern Iowa fan, Husker fan.
Man, you just I'm a cornucopia fandom.
If fandom was morality,
yeah,
you'd have the spinning compass, baby.
You know, I'll say this again. I like football. I like football teams. If people who listen to this podcast know that I'm a fan of the Iowa Hawkeyes. I'm lucky enough and fortunate enough to host their post-game call-in show. But I don't hate really any other teams. I like watching. I was watching Nebraska last night, rooting for the Huskers to beat Northern Illinois. Liked the way they were playing. I watched the Iowa State game. Man, that was embarrassing for Iowa State to lose at Ohio.
Oh, you know, you say that, though. I mean, you and I were texting during that game.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of the same way. It's like I'm one to talk with my Michigan State fandom. Obviously, I'm highly biased. Big fan of Augustana football. Love D2 football. Love NAIA football. I mean, and if you're not out there watching small college ball, you're missing out, I think.
You know what? And junior college ball, too. I mean, if you get...
You've got the reigning national title just a few miles away across the river with the Reavers.
And it was interesting. I think Western Michigan, who played Iowa yesterday, had like four or five players from Iowa Western on that team. I mean, there was a bunch of players.
Coach Strohmeyer churns them out.
And, of course, if you haven't heard our podcast with Coach Strohmeyer, just go back through the podcast episodes and find it. It's a really good interview with him. He's got a strong program over there and really good football to watch.
But, no, you mentioned the Iowa State at Ohio game.
Yep.
I mean, we were talking about that. I'm just like, oh, my God, how is this happening? And you made the point. You had guys suspended. I mean, the quarterback, was it starting quarterback, starting running back?
Starting quarterback, and we're talking about the gambling investigation that took place in the state of Iowa that affected both Iowa and Iowa State.
Don't gamble.
Don't gamble if you're playing. It's that simple.
And here's the thing.
Or at least don't gamble on your damn team.
Okay. We got hammered with that message when I was in school.
And it wasn't legal when you were in school. It was still like under the table. You had to go to the local dive bar and pick up your sheet.
And it's one of those things. It's sort of like video cameras now. It's Ring doorbells. Everybody's got a security cam going. You can't get away with anything in this day and age.
No.
You really can't. There's a digital record of it somewhere. And what people are doing, they're using the... Okay, so we've talked to Brian Bennett from Betfred.
Yes.
You know, we talked to Scott Spreitzer. When you talk to people within the industry, it's interesting because they make the point that 99% of illegal gambling is caught due to the fact that you have the legal gambling websites, apps, etc., that those end up flagging it, and those apps, those websites end up reporting it to the authorities. That's how they catch 99% of these guys.
That's why a lot of people are wondering how this happened in Iowa, nowhere else, that somebody had to send out like a red flag and somebody had to give a tip. But you're right, Iowa State got drilled by this because they lost their starting quarterback. They lost their starting running back. They lost an offensive lineman. He only got suspended for 6 games because he didn't bet on any Iowa State team. So he didn't bet on any Iowa State football. He didn't bet on any Iowa State basketball. So he got a 6-game suspension because of that. But the Cyclones definitely have been affected. Because it's in the top of my mind. You mentioned the digital footprint. This was amazing. So I had a fan, a blower fan, go out of my refrigerator. So my freezer...
you started talking about that. I'm like, well, who's he a fan of?
Okay, so a fan went out. So it wasn't making ice, right? So we had purchased the extended warranty from GE. GE comes out, and I thought they're going to replace the fan. Well, you know how when you take your car to the mechanic, they plug it in?
Yeah, okay. They got the diagnostic.
I had no idea. He pulls my fridge out. I'm like, oh, he's going to replace the fan. No, he takes a computer, and he plugs it in on the top. I go, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just updating the software. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, watch this. He pulls up all the statistics on my fridge. He knew how many times the doors have been open. He knew how many times the right door had been open, the left door had been open, the freezer had been open. He knew how many times I did cubed ice, crushed ice, warm water, cold water. It was freaking me out.
I don't want a refrigerator that has that kind of capability.
I was
There's
like,
been in your house. Your fridge is one of those fridge that has the
LCD screen on it and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, my refrigerator doors have been open 56,000 times since we purchased it. He goes, who in the house is left-handed? I go, nobody. He goes, that's weird. He goes, because the left door had been open more than the right door. He goes, usually you have a left-handed person who's opening the door the majority of the time. For some reason, we all open the left door more than the right door.
What was side weird. Of the fridge do you guys keep the alcohol on?
We keep no alcohol in the fridge. You know where the alcohol is in my house. It's in the downstairs fridge, right? But I'm like, this is too smart of a fridge. I don't need this kind of information.
So it's interesting because one of the topics of discussion that you see if you start hanging out like on like Wired magazine, like I hang out on their online website all the time. Anytime there's tech stuff that if I'm making a purchase, I go to Wired and look up the information on it. One of the things is you look at a lot of these, like the smart home appliances, are hackable.
100%.
Yeah, you can hack into them. That shit's scary.
It really, really is.
There's people listening in to you.
Well, I've got the Google Home, and I don't know if you have an Alexa or a Google Home. I swear that thing's listening to me. My phone listens to me.
Oh, everybody. I mean, that's one of those things where it's like we could sit here. My phone's sitting right next to me right now, and I could say, okay, I'm going to like say into the phone, I would really like to buy a GE refrigerator. Okay, I just said that right now.
Yeah.
Love GE refrigerators. We need a new GE refrigerator. I wonder what a GE refrigerator costs. Okay, I'm setting my phone down. I'm going to look at that later.
Yeah.
And I bet when I pull up Twitter, there's going to be ads for GE refrigerators.
Or you might pull up Facebook, but you don't have a Facebook page.
I don't do Facebook.
You don't do the Facebook. You do the Instagram,
I don't do the Facebook. I do Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram. Doc Talk is on Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't
No, Doc Talk is not on Instagram.
Yeah, it is. I set up a Doc Talk
account. I didn't know you did.
I post to it like never.
Never, yeah. We do have a TikTok account now, too. We have a TikTok account. We have a Facebook page. We have a YouTube channel. And, of course, you have your Twitter handle, at DocTalkSports. So if you're on any of those social media channels, just go ahead and follow us at DocTalkSports. You were at the stadium on Saturday night to watch Nebraska get its first win of the season. How did it feel to be back home, should we say?
It's always fun. I kind of feel bad. I don't know if I should say I feel bad. Man, I make it to maybe one or two home games a year. And now, I've got reasons for that. I mean, I got kids doing other stuff, and between wrestling tournaments and my son up at Augustana, it's a time thing. I mean, I bet we have time to make it to one or two home games a year, tops.
But are you like me? I like watching better on television. I think I get a better view of everything.
It depends on what I'm there for. If I want to analyze a game, if like when I'm at a game and I'm like, okay, I need 2-3 plays because we're going to do the diagnosis, what plays are going to stick out for me, I want to watch on TV. I love the game day experience. I love being in the crowd. I love being around people. Like the people we sit around, I got a couple of one of my wife's sorority sisters and her husband sitting right next to us to the right. It's Nebraska. You know everybody.
Yeah.
Right in front of us, there's a group of nurses with, I was going to say Creighton, but now it's Bergen CHI. that I've known since I was a med student and in residency. It's people we've known for 30 years. And we've only had those seats for like six. So it's you get up there. It's people you know. It's people that you're going, that you're having this.
It's a bonding moment.
Entertainment experience with. You got the crowd noise. You got the smells. You got the band. I mean, I freaking, nothing makes a football game like a marching band. If you got a band.
Listen, I've seen a lot of bands. There's only one I want to watch.
I know. I get that. So here's what's interesting, though. So when my son was doing recruiting trips.
Yeah.
There is a high number of NAIA and D2 schools that do not have a band. When you go to those games and there's not a band,
you know it.
It's weird.
It really what separates it college football from the pros, right? I mean, it is. That adds to the game day experience.
And it's one of those things like Augustana, Ryan's senior year in high school, which was he graduated in 22. So fall of 21 was the first year that Augustana had a marching band. And it was kind of cool because a couple of his previous recruiting trips to a couple of other schools, no band. You showed up for a game at Augustana and it just felt right. And all of a sudden you realized, okay, well, part of the reason this feels right, there's a band here. Never underestimate having a live band at a sporting event. Having pep band at basketball game, volleyball matches. You have the marching band at the football game. Man, it makes a difference.
Of course, Nebraska beat Northern Illinois 35-11, giving Coach Matt Rhule his first win as the Huskers head coach.
So as much as it would probably hope for a lot of people that this is working and that we're moving in the right direction, for me, this was about belief. You know what? I believe that what we're doing is working. I believe we're doing it the right way. I believe that we could overcome, you know, the first two games and being close but not close enough in the first one. So I thought the players showed a lot of belief, and they showed a lot of belief in each other. And that's, in today's day and age, sometimes that can be hard, but we have special players, and I was glad they got the win the way they got.
There you go. It's all about belief. It wasn't about him getting a win. It was about belief for the team. And I believe that because winning can be contagious, but as much as losing can be.
Okay, I mean, getting a win at all is – I mean, a year ago at this time – Nebraska was losing to Georgia Southern, and we were doing a live show covering Scott Frost's fire.
Yes.
So, I mean, you think about the difference from that to this. There's still issues. There's still things that got to be cleaned up. I like the win, though. I mean, it was a great experience. It was fun being there at the game. It's when you go through, so we do the report card after the game.
Yeah.
There's some very big positives, but I think it's positives we've seen from week one. We saw the same positives week two. The defense is playing amazingly well. I mean, I didn't want to think about this, but now it's a worry of mine is, okay, who's going to hire Tony White away from Nebraska now to be a head coach? That he came in and with what he's had to work with is that, I mean, and I'm not saying they didn't have talent. They had some good football players down there. They're playing a lot of first and second year guys on that defense. A lot of first and second year guys are getting playing time. Huge Cam Lenhart fan. But, God, they're tearing it up, and they're playing really, really, really good defense. I do not fault the defense for the final score of the Colorado game. I put that all on the offense.
And that's why you gave the defense yesterday an A-. So your scorecard or report card yesterday against Northern Illinois, running game got a C+, even though they went for over 200 yards.
I get it. Again, it's one of those you got to look at who you're playing. And we talked about this during the Doc's diagnosis. The strength of Northern Illinois is their defensive line. They play. They've got a very good, very good defensive line. Cade Haberman, number 8. I got to look up that guy's name. I mean, those guys played on Nebraska's side of the line of scrimmage the entire game. Cool. And that's a test. That's a strong testament to them. They played well. Nebraska's got to do better. Nebraska's got to do better in pass protection. It wasn't the best pass protection.
Of course, the doc's diagnosis comes out on Monday and Tuesday. You can check it out on the YouTube channel brought to you by Centris Federal Credit Union. The big question, though, okay, let's just go through the grades real quick. C-plus running game, C-plus passing game, C on the offensive line.
I mean, the C-plus on the passing game, again, a lot of that goes to the pass protection. You can't put it all in the quarterbacks and wide receiver. It's easy to do that. The pass protection has to get better. I would have liked to have seen Harburg had more time on a number of throws. I mean, his stats were fine. I didn't have a problem with him statistically. My problem was when you're there watching the game, and he's having to move around more than I'd like to have him move around. I see that as a problem, and that's why I downgraded him a little bit.
Offensive line, a C, that's the highest grade they've had in a while.
It is, and again, the reason I gave him as good a grade as I did, there were turnovers that we saw in previous games that were due to poor blocking by the offensive line. And we only saw that happen one time in the game on Saturday. And that's one of those things where if you're on the offensive line and there's a turnover and you can look at that turnover and say, that was the offensive line's fault, that's a big fault.
And
it really is. And they had one turnover.
And it was the offensive line's fault.
And it was 100% the offensive line's fault. They got downgraded for that. You mentioned the rushing yardage. The passing yardage was fine too. It just, there's some things they still have to clean up. There's things they got to get better at.
We mentioned you gave the defense an A-, special teams a B-, and an overall grade of a C-plus on a win.
Yeah, the special teams grade, a few people have commented consistently like, oh, God, Nebraska's punting. The kickoff coverage, the punt coverage has been excellent. The coverage has been outstanding. I guess if Buscini's the best we got, fine. But the punting itself has not been great. I thought it looked at, and it's kind of weird because I actually thought he kicked well during the Minnesota game. Had some very good punts. The capability is there to punt well. He hasn't done it since the Minnesota game. The overall grade is not, I got to say this again, it's not an average
no,
of
it's
the
not.
Other grades. It's sort of a non-average composite in my own head of how I look at that.
And if you listen to the entire Matt Rhule press conference after the game yesterday, I think just based on his comments, happy to get the win, but I think he would probably agree with your C+. Just listening to him.
Once you get outside of Northern Illinois' defensive line, the talent and the capabilities of that team drop off quickly. I mean, it's not like anybody's looking at Rocky Lombardi. I get it. He's the Jim Belushi of, I'm sorry, the John Belushi of the team. It's like, I've been here for 7 years.
Rocky Lombardi's still playing quarterback?
He was the quarterback.
He's from West Des Moines Valley.
Yeah. I had to
He started at Michigan State.
So I had to point this out to my daughter. And so I went to the game with our youngest daughter. I don't know if you remember this, and I don't even remember what year it was exactly. I think it was 2017, might have been 2018. Michigan State in Lincoln, and it was a near blinding blizzard the entire game.
I remember that.
So, I mean, it was snow blowing sideways. Nebraska won the game like 9-6 or 6-3. I think it was like a 6-3 win. There was like 3 total field goals in the game. So, I mean, it was one of these incredibly odd games. Nebraska played great defensively, had solid special teams, hit a field goal late in the game to win it. Rocky Lombardi was Michigan State's quarterback game. And I had to point it out to my daughter. I was like, hey, remember when you and I went to that game with the god-awful weather, blinding snow, blizzard the whole time, and we're freezing our butts off? And she's like, yeah. She was like, I remember that game only because it sucked.
You remember the cold ones.
Yeah.
You don't remember everyone, but you remember the cold ones.
You remember those ones where you froze to death and all you could see was snow for most of the game.
Yeah.
She was like, oh my God, that was so long ago. And I'm like, Northern Illinois quarterback. That's the same guy for Michigan State. I was like, she was probably in, oh my gosh, I got to think now. She was probably in fourth or fifth grade at the time.
And now she's a junior.
She's a junior.
She's a junior in high school.
Yeah. But he's been around forever. They're not good. Their D line is actually really good. But I mean, you got to win over a team
that you should
be one single position group that plays well. And that position group did show up on Saturday.
And let's not forget, much like I said last night on my show for the Iowa game, Iowa beat a team it should have beaten. Nebraska beat a team it should have beaten. Yes. And beat by that score.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Nebraska should have won that game by two or three scores, and they did.
Nebraska with just one turnover. Heinrich Harburg with 21 rushes, a net of 98. He was 14 of 24 for 158 yards, two touchdowns. Rob, the burning question coming out of this game, and we are now going to be heading into game four, does Nebraska have a quarterback controversy on its hands with Jeff Sims and Heinrich Harburg?
I think a little bit. And the thing that's funny about this is you look at the skill set that these guys bring to the table. Harburg, I thought he did very well. I also think this was, again, outside of Northern Illinois' defensive line. That was the least talented overall defense that Nebraska's faced. Again, it's one of the better defensive lines they've faced in these first three games. The rest of the defense, not so much.
You know,
and so it's what I worry about is how he looked a reflection of the fact that, okay, he's really the better quarterback, or did he just not play a very good defense overall on Saturday? And it's, you know, you compare him to Sims. I think Sims is probably the better overall athlete. I think Sims has a stronger arm. I think Sims is a better runner.
Just doesn't make good decisions.
And that's saying a lot because Harburg
is a pretty damn good runner.
Is a really, really good athlete. It's just from a decision-making standpoint where it's, okay, I'm just going to throw the ball away. Oh, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to take off and run. Sims does not have that decision-making ability. He doesn't have that ability to take care of the ball that Harburg does. Do we just need a better game manager? Or do we need the guy who can bust the 70-yard touchdown run from the quarterback position? And I think that's still a legitimate question.
It's a very legitimate question, and the competition is going to change drastically. Now, Matt Rhule is a politician, and he didn't take the bait when asked about who is going to start against Louisiana Tech.
We figured out that both quarterbacks are good quarterbacks. I mean, the situation that Jeff went and played in the first two games was difficult, okay? And a lot of things that weren't his fault were pegged on Jeff Sims. So we got a lot of confidence in Jeff. We've known all along that Heinrich can play. We got a good situation. I won't talk any hypotheticals. You know, I don't know who's going to be healthy, who's not. But I know we can win with both guys, and you guys know how I feel about Chuba. So I think we have a lot of players. I think the biggest thing for us is, you know, just continuing to find the guys on offense who can make plays for the quarterbacks, you know. So those runs that AG made at the end, Gabe made at the end, you know, we're just going to keep finding guys.
Going to keep finding guys. Non-committal to anything. Listen, I'm not a head coach. I would say this. Against La Tech, you go with the horse that got you there. And I would go with Harburg. I would. But the problem is you're paying Jeff Sims a hell of a lot of money right now, or at least the collective is, and you don't want to mess with his mind either.
So far, kind of the word out of Lincoln is that he's dealing with this rather well. I mean, he's dealing with it like a pro. You look at that Minnesota game. I think Colorado wins that game regardless because of the fact that it's just, you know, there's some athleticism there. And I think Colorado's a decent team. We'll get touch on that at some point here. But if Nebraska had a true, quote-unquote, game manager at quarterback against Minnesota, they probably win that game. Now, I say that, it's not like Sims didn't make some big plays with his feet in that Minnesota game to keep Nebraska in the game. So I'm really torn here because I look at Harburg, I look at Sims, and the guy who's going to bust the 70-yard touchdown run to give you that big score is Sims.
It is.
Now, Harburg had some really good runs. I love the one where he blew up Northern Illinois safety, puts his head down and just lights the dude
almost Eric Crouch against Iowa.
It was. Now, I say that. I think Harburg got up a little slow after it too, but it's the guy's not afraid to go out there and be a runner in the open field, and that's fun to see. I still think Sims is better at it.
Now, Rule was complimentary of Harburg, but I wouldn't say it was a glowing praise after the game. Complimentary, just not glowing.
I think he did what he was called upon to do. You know, like the rest of the team, there's a lot of things to improve. There were some throws, you know, some throws where in third down, you know, I think one of the key, you know, at one point we were 1-for-7 on third down, right? So that was one of the big things that was holding us back. And I thought, you know, we settled down and got some third downs later in the drive. His ability to, you know, run the quarterback draw, run the quarterback options. You know, we started the game off with an option. I thought, you know, that wasn't done for anything other than just we wanted to get Heinrich going. And that slows down people's blitz packages.
So
that is a very non-committal. That, do you know what that is? That's a coach saying, yeah, he managed the game reasonably well for us.
That's a presidential candidate saying, yeah, ethanol's good.
That's a presidential candidate in the states of Nebraska or Iowa saying, yeah, ethanol's good. We can use that.
And we all know that ethanol sucks, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
You mentioned
I'm at the point now. I will pay the additional 28 cents per gallon just with the gas mileage with non-ethanol.
That's the funny thing is that when I go down south to visit my daughters, I got a daughter in Mississippi and I've got a daughter in Louisiana, right? There's no ethanol gas down there, and it's cheap.
Or you go down there, and what's interesting is there is ethanol. That's the expensive shit.
Yeah. It's like, okay, this is reversed. It's stupid. But I do notice when I drive back from New Orleans, I get much, and I mean much better gas mileage on the way back with that non-ethanol gas than I do.
100%. Yeah. When we're making our runs up to Sioux Falls to watch Augustana play.
Yeah.
It's not ethanol in the tank.
See, look at Rob. No corn in his tank right there. None whatsoever.
If I do, it's definitely Nebraska corn because we know what happens with Iowa corn.
Oh my God! You know, this is my favorite time of year though. I love driving as they're picking beans and corn right now. I just love seeing harvest time. And I wasn't even a farmer growing up, but I love harvest. I think it's fun.
So it's interesting how harvest affects a lot of other stuff, because we'll have patients who will have horrific joint disease. They won't come in to get their joint replacements done until after harvest season.
Well, there's a lot of things that don't get done until I got to wait till harvest is over. What I like about harvest is that we have a number of listeners who listen to this podcast in their combines, and we'll get pictures all the time.
I love that.
Hey, I'm in the combine. I'm listening to the podcast. You cannot send enough of those photos.
We'll take all of that we can get.
Yeah, those are totally awesome. You mentioned Jeff Sims taking this very well. And Harburg had some really, really nice things to say about Jeff Sims yesterday and the way he was supportive during this week and also during the game.
Well, the thing that Jeff did best was, you know, telling me that how much he believed in me, how much he was behind me, no matter what. You know, even through the game, you know, all the touchdowns that we had, all the ups and downs that we had. You know, there's a couple drives where I was like 0-for-3. I was like, I came off the field thinking, crap, like, am I going to be able to keep doing this? And Jeff's just, you know, keep your head up, just keep pushing, bro. You know, that goes way further than, you know, anything that he could say about, hey, they're running this coverage.
Dude, that's leadership.
It is, and that was one of the things that, I mean, you could see that on the sideline on Saturday. And that was one of the things a few of the coaches talked about postgame. I mean, I'm talking about Saturday night driving back to Omaha. I'm listening to the postgame stuff. They talked about that. And they talked about the fact that Sims was a very good leader. He's the guy who is coming over every time the offense comes off the field. He's grabbing Harburg, arm around him, pointing stuff out, talking them through stuff. And I do love to see that. But that's also why I'm looking at the situation and I'm still going, I don't know if Harburg is our best option. I still look at Sims and I still see him as a viable option, even with the turnover potential. The turnover's got to get cleaned up. Don't get me wrong. I'm sitting here going, okay, if we're playing a much better opponent, does a game manager get the job done, or does the guy who can bust the 70-yard touchdown run get the job done? And I don't have a good answer for that
well,
yet.
Well, it's going to be a huge discussion this week leading up to Louisiana Tech. I don't think it's going to be a distraction, but when Matt Rhule has his press conference, people are going to want to know who's your starting quarterback. He's not going to give an answer. Not early in the week, he's not going to give an answer. There's no way. And I don't blame him. I would run practice and see who's practicing the best, and I would run probably with who's practicing the best. My personal feeling is, listen, Heinrich just won you the first football game. You got La Tech. Stick with that because it's working at this point.
Yeah, but on the flip side, if you've got a guy like Sims who's a potential game breaker with his running ability, here's the thing too. When he makes that throw initially, he's thrown on his first read. The defensive coverage isn't there on the receiver yet. His balls are... Oh, that sounded horrible. When he throws the football, he's got a great throw, and he throws it accurately. Now, if he's got to make reads,
yes.
If he's got to get to that second read, that third read, that's a no-go, and I totally get that. But his ability to throw the football, he's like Kelly Stauffer. I mean, he's one of these guys, I'm pulling out a name from 28 years ago here. He's one of those guys who has this incredibly strong arm. He can launch a football a country mile. It's just, is the decision-making ability there in terms of, you know what, screw it, I'm going to throw it away, or I'm going to tuck it and run it, and I'm not going to force this pass into a place that you don't want to put it. And that decision-making ability remains highly questionable. But in terms of the overall talent, I mean, he's got a great arm. He's got a strong arm. He's got an accurate arm. It's everything up top in his head that we need to get straightened out in terms of that decision-making.
Don't forget, Nebraska plays Louisiana Tech this weekend. If you want to bet the game, Fred is your guy when you want to bet. More bonuses, more bets. Right now, get your bet back if your team loses in overtime. When you bet on a player to score first, if they score twice, you get double the price. New customers can get more than $1,000 in bonuses as well. Betfred is the bonus king. Download the Betfred app today. If it's in your state, terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 plus. Wagers only accepted in the state that you live in. And if you do have a gambling problem, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. And how about our good friend Connor Orr at Orr in Horrigan? Connor's a friend of the podcast, a licensed sports agent in the state of Nebraska, and he works directly with athletes and businesses to help them navigate the ever-changing landscape of name, image, and likeness. Connor is also focused on corporate and personal injury litigations in both Nebraska and Iowa, and he can work with you on your business planning, estate planning, and real estate transactions. Louisiana State will come into Lincoln. Louisiana Tech, not Louisiana State. That would be a hell of a ball game, wouldn't it?
That would be kind of cool, though.
There's a lot of football teams in Louisiana, by the way.
There would be a lot of Joe Burrow talk if that was the case.
Thanks for the correction.
Which, by the way, I don't know if you knew this. He kind of wanted to go to Nebraska.
You're not really? Did he really? I had no idea.
Not a lot of people know that.
I had no idea. But La Tech will come into the football game with a 2-2 record.
The Fighting Troy Edwards.
They are
not a lot of people get that reference.
They are coming off a loss on Saturday at home, 40-37 in North Texas. I know nothing about La Tech. Nothing.
I don't know a lot. I can't say I know much.
And you know what? That's okay. That's perfectly okay.
Texas State and UT San Antonio are the teams to beat in the conference.
Yeah, there you go. You know your Conference USA.
La Tech, not so much.
They've been up and down, though. They've had good years. They've had bad years.
Well, I mentioned Troy Edwards. I mean, you go back. I mean, they've had guys go through there who are just absolutely outstanding football players over the years. And they punch some guys into the NFL on a regular basis. So it's the potential's there, the talent's there. I don't like to denigrate anybody until we see them in Lincoln, but you've got a team that is kind of a middle-of-the-road team within their own conference. Now, the thing that worries me about that, last year, Georgia Southern was a middle-of-the-road team within their own conference and came into Lincoln and won that game.
Sonny Cumbie, the head coach of La Tech, former Texas Tech quarterback.
I was just going to say, is that the Tech guy?
Yeah. I believe he was at Tech, and then he's been the head coach of La Tech since 2022.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah. So
I think Cumbie and I think linebackers from Oklahoma. Wasn't there an Oklahoma linebacker back in the 70s? Named Cumbie.
Again, we talked about how I can't remember what happened yesterday.
I just got old to all of our listeners there. As soon as I said that, people are like, 1970s, when was that?
But here's the deal, though, Rob. There will be somebody who's listening to this podcast that will definitely find an answer to that. You understand that, right?
If you remember a linebacker from the University of Oklahoma, last name was Cumbie, hit me up on Twitter, please. At Doc Talk Sports.
But, you know, if Nebraska gets a win, you're sitting there at 2-2. There's some people, and
we're running the table.
No,
10-2,
they're not going to run the table.
No,
let's be realistic. I took the over at 6.5. It's not out of reach.
And I technically took the under.
You did.
I thought six wins.
If I get the over, Owen, who just got a Blackstone griddle, is going to have to make me dinner.
That's it.
Well, I mean, that's all he can afford right now. He's a starving artist.
I do need a Blackstone.
Yeah. He made these
chips. And I don't even want the full size. I just want the tailgate sized one.
And I think that's what he has. But what I don't get, here's my struggle with the Blackstone. First of all, I don't have room for it in my backyard. But I don't want to fry a steak. And I know people can say it's okay
to
fry
a steak.
You're
not frying
a steak. You are too.
You're searing.
Bullshit. You are frying a steak.
I would be willing to bet most high-end restaurants you go to.
That's in cast iron and butter and garlic.
Yeah, but it's basically a sear frying method. Or they're either that or they're doing a reverse sear.
Yeah.
Where they're getting that internal temp to whatever it is, 110, 115, take it off, do the quick sear on each side, pops that internal temp to 125, 135, bring it to the table, medium rare, and you're perfect.
I mean, he made tuna. He made a tuna. Did you make tuna on that thing the other day?
We made some tuna steaks on
there
yesterday.
See, I've done that. What do you do? Oh, you just do a quick sear on each side and leave it completely.
We did literally 20 seconds each side.
That's gold, by the way.
Man.
It's good.
Do you think I get invited? No. Don't get invited.
Tuna steaks are pricey, man.
Yeah. I sent you to Creighton Prep, man. I sent you to prep.
I can't be sharing tuna steaks.
Hey, Trav.
Yeah?
Guess what?
What?
Could have gone public school and...
I could have. But I chose not to. It was my choice. It was his mother's choice as well.
I look at Owen and I just think, God, he would have made a great West Side Warrior.
Don't say that.
See, he doesn't go back to prep. He's not going to his 5-year reunion, but he still knows where his allegiance lies, right? I mean, it's just, yeah, exactly. Hey, Husker Hounds, you're going to get some great deals this week. Get in on the some great deals right now. Adidas sideline polos, regularly $75. Scotty's got them priced down to $49.99. They're available in red, white, and black. New black shirts apparel is coming in this week. Volleyball apparel is 25% off. And new fleece.
They're playing good on volleyball.
Yeah, they are.
I was going to say, if you want a team to follow, you want to sport the gear, Go get your volleyball gear.
The new fleece is arriving daily, and in store this week, as I mentioned, new black shirts apparel too.
And Scotty does carry the, I call it the rule pullover.
Yeah.
It's the short sleeve quarters.
It's kind of like this, right?
That's exactly
and
what
I'm wearing
is.
The Remington Trophy pullover.
Yeah. He does. He's got the short sleeved quarter zips.
Nice.
That Coach Rule wears. Go get yours at Husker Hounds.
Two locations in the Omaha area, the Superstore at 84th and Center, and Out West at 171st and Lakeside Hills Plaza. Or you can make it easy on yourself and shop at HuskerHounds.com, where you get free shipping on orders of over $50 and a flat shipping rate of $4.95 on anything under $50. Big news out of college football this week, and we'll get to Colorado because that's not it. Alabama's out of the top 10 for the first time in 8 years. For the first time in 8 years, Alabama falls not out of the top 25, out of the top 10. That's a sick, sick run.
It's an amazing run that they've had. I'm not sure I'm completely sold on Nick Saban as not being a great coach. I still think the guy's an amazing coach. The thing with Alabama,
what you just say, you're not sold on him being a great coach?
No, I'm not sold on him as being washed up.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm not sold on him as not being a great coach.
What the fuck?
He is a great coach. Okay. Which one of us needs to keep drinking and which one of us needs to stop?
I just
stop?
Misheard you, and I guarantee there's going to be people who listen to podcasts going, what did Rob just say?
But it is interesting when you look at that. I mean, at some point, somebody like Kirby Smart's going to come along, cut his teeth under Saban's tutelage, going to move like one state away to Georgia and start soaking up all the great recruits. I mean, that plays into it. I look at this situation and you look at the assistant coaches that Saban's had that have moved on to other spots. That plays into it. The recruiting plays into it. I still think Alabama's pretty damn good. I'm not sure I'd bounce them out of the top 10. I was a little, I get it. Who was it?
South Florida.
Yeah.
Now, Alabama's been in the top 25 for 249 consecutive weeks. That's the current longest streak. However, not even close to Nebraska's yet. That was in the top 25 from 81 to 2002 for 348 weeks.
Pretty impressive.
That's pretty impressive.
The thing that really hit home for me for Alabama, and I posted this on Twitter last Saturday. I was listening to, I don't remember if it was Fox or if it was ESPN, but they had a graphic that they put up because they were doing it was last Sunday. They were doing a profile on Mac Jones and Jalen Hurts. So starting quarterback for the Patriots, starting quarterback for Philly. And they put up a photo from their Alabama days. And so it's, you go back, I can't remember which year it was exactly, but you had Mac Jones was the starting quarterback for Alabama, was backed up by Jalen Hurts, who I think is probably... The Chiefs fans are going to disagree with me, but I think the best quarterback in the NFL right now, for starting for Philly, Hurts was backed up by Tua Tagovailoa, the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. You had all three of those guys on Alabama's roster. That doesn't happen in this day and age. And I understand that when I say in this day and age, I'm talking about within the last 2.5 years. With the transfer portal and NIL, that doesn't happen. That you're going to have three starting NFL quarterbacks on one roster, on one college roster at the same time. That's not going to happen, but that's what Alabama and Saban were able to do in that time period.
Crazy numbers. I mean, you look at the top 25 now. Georgia, your number one team. Michigan, number two. I think Michigan's really good. Texas jumps up to number three. Florida State, how about your Noles? Your Noles are number four. USC's number five.
They had a tough one.
Who, Florida State?
Yeah, they Boston College scored 19 unanswered. Florida State was up 31-10. And I think they just they just took their foot off the gas. I think they went into sort of letdown mode, and then Boston College scored 19 unanswered to pull within two.
The irony of the whole situation is, top to bottom, if you look at the poll right now, the Pac-12 might be the best conference out there, and it's breaking up.
Thank God most of it's all going to the Big Ten.
but you have Oregon State and Washington State are both ranked.
They're both playing very good football right now. I mean, there's an ebb and flow to all of this, and I'm not sure that completely surprises me, but they're playing very good football right now in that conference. I mean, Colorado's a Pac-12 team.
Well, Colorado drops from 18 to 19. Let's just transition right into Colorado, shall we?
Let's do it.
They're the shiny star right now. They're the one everybody's chasing.
They're the media darling.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Which is ironic, right? Because all the pretty people who think they run college football beforehand were like, he's doing it wrong. This is going to be a disaster. You know, this is a failed experiment before it's even got off the ground. And they are kissing his ass like there's no tomorrow right now.
So you can have, here's the thing. More than one paradigm, more than one dynamic can be correct at the same, can be right at the same time. So a couple of things. Did he do things non-traditionally? What was your line
about it? He disrupted the business.
He's a disruptor. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, he did, and it worked. Like right now, they are three times as good as they were last year.
Yes. There's no question about that.
Yeah, they were, 1-11 last year? They're 3-0 this year.
Yes.
The worst they can finish is 3-9. That's the worst they're going to do.
But they'll do better than that.
And guess what? I remember you go back to July or August, and people were like, you know, really? If he wins one or two more games than they did last year, people are going to look at him and say this was a resounding success. Guess what? He's won two more games than they did last year, and I would say it is a resounding success.
And he's selling out stadiums.
Did he do it, quote-unquote, the right way? No, he didn't. He did it his way, but guess what? It freaking worked.
And think about this. Folsom Field was the most electric I've seen it. I mean, I know it was big for the Nebraska game. Last night against Colorado State was incredible.
Well, and that's I kind of liken that. It's sort of like Oklahoma, Texas, and Oklahoma yeah. State. Nebraska fans like to think of Oklahoma as their rival. Guess what? They're down the list a ways.
But, Rob, when
Colorado and Colorado State freaking hate each other.
But my point here is that Colorado was 1-11 last year. When Colorado would go play in Oregon State, at Oregon State, or at Washington State, or really at anywhere when you're a one-win team, what happens?
Get smoked.
No, what happens with fans? Do they show up?
Oh, no, not at all.
What's going to happen with Deion on the sideline now when he goes on the road?
People are showing up.
Yes, they are.
Guess what? I guarantee admissions applications to the university are skyrocketing.
And right it's already now. Hard enough to get into Colorado.
Yeah, it really is. But those numbers are going to go up. Now, I talk about more than one dynamic can be correct at any given point in time. The other thing is if you really look at Colorado, I might get some blowback on this from the casual Colorado fans who might remotely listen to this. You're doing okay. They're not great.
A lot of Colorado fans watched this podcast last week on YouTube, and they thought we were the dumbest two in the world.
Okay, well, dumbest two or dumbest one?
Okay, dumbest one, but I wanted to loop you in with me.
Okay, I'm going to join. I'm joining you whole hog here now, okay?
Okay.
They're okay. They're not great. So, I mean, if you look, okay, let's take a step back and big picture this a bit. You barely beat a vastly overrated, quite frankly, kind of mediocre TCU team.
True.
Barely beat them. You needed heroics to beat a mediocre TCU team. You got Nebraska who spotted you, whatever it was, like seven turnovers. and doesn't have a great offense. And I'll stand by that. I mean, Nebraska's offense against Northern Illinois is okay.
It was a C plus.
It was a C plus offense against Northern Illinois. Nebraska's defense shut Colorado down for 2.5 quarters, almost 3 full quarters. They got tired. They lived on the field. Their own offense was handing the ball back over to the Buffs every third series of the game, and they got gassed. They got tired. But Nebraska's defense shut them down with a first-year D coordinator and yesterday's talent and shut Colorado down. Sacked Shador, what was it, 7 or 8 times?
Yeah. He got rushed a lot.
I love the comments. I love Desmond Howard. Nebraska played to prevent defense.
No, Nebraska, I think, had 7 or 8 sacks. I think they had like 5 technical ones yesterday.
No, I'm talking about against Colorado.
You mean Nebraska?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nebraska had 8 sacks.
Desmond Howard on game day was talking about how Nebraska played this prevent defense against Colorado, and you can't do that. I'm like, everybody and their dog was like, did you even watch the freaking game, Desmond? It's like they had 8 sacks against Colorado. They came after him.
Desmond's the weak link on that show, by the way. Now that McAfee's on there,
he's a Michigan guy. He's a Michigan guy. Right there. It's like being an Iowa guy on the channel. It's going to be the weak link.
Why do you got to do that? Why do you got to take that jab?
Because I'm a Husker fan. It's one of those things where you look at the Nebraska-Colorado game, and if Colorado fans want to hold that up as this defining win, I'm sitting here going like, okay, fine. But I think any Husker fan in their right mind is looking at this going, yeah, we're okay, and this is a rebuilding year, and God, if we get 4 to 6 wins, we're probably going to be okay because that outdoes what Matt Rhule usually does in his first year at any program.
Yeah.
So that's not I don't look at that as a program defining win. That is not a storm the field win. Colorado State, you needed 2 overtimes to beat a Mountain West team that was a 23-point dog. You're trying to tell me that was a great performance by Colorado?
I mean, they stormed the field.
It did. And I understand the whole, it's a rivalry game. I understand the whole, hey, sometimes you walk into a buzzsaw. My senior year, we played Wyoming in Lincoln, and they had a 3-score lead on us in the second half.
I remember that.
And we finally got our shit together and kicked the crap out of them and won by 2 scores.
That's where Brooke collapsed his lung, wasn't it?
It was.
My memory's still there. My memory's still there.
And those things happen. You play opponents that rise up and punch in the face, and it's tough to deal with. But, I mean, it's a Mountain West team that's now 0-2. That wasn't a great win.
No.
And it took you 2 overtimes. You were a 23-point favorite.
I mean, they got smoked by Washington State. Colorado State did. And they played Colorado close. Yet Washington State's ranked below Colorado. But Colorado's going to get the love. I mean,
they are there. But here's the thing. TCU exposed some stuff with Colorado. Nebraska exposed some stuff with Colorado. Colorado State expose some stuff with Colorado. Colorado is 3-0 against 3 very mediocre football teams. And that's a compliment to those 3 teams when I say mediocre.
It's just the chips are falling in Deion's way.
They are, and it's, well, and part of the reason they're falling his way is because he does have some very legit talent on that team.
His
and
kid.
He is. Travis Hunter is amazing.
He's going to be out for several weeks now.
I get that. There's some very good other players on that team. They've got a couple of D linemen who are really good football players. Their offensive tackles are good. They got some transfers in there. I thought Deion probably, if there's a guy who won the transfer portal battle, it was Deion. He rocked it.
And he came in fairly late to do that.
He really did. The guys he got there are really, really good football.
I shouldn't say he came in late. He just had to get a lot more guys than everybody else.
He did, but man, he did a good job of it. So I'm not saying Colorado's trash, but I'm not ready to elevate them to like the shining star of college football yet. Deion has done what he needed to do, and it's been a remarkable job. I don't want to take anything away from him. I just don't want to anoint Colorado as a playoff team yet.
No.
Because guess what? They're not even close to that.
No. Well, here's what I like about the poll. I mean, Georgia is the clear number one of 57 first place votes. But the truth is, I don't think there's a clear-cut best team in college football. The parity that we're seeing now.
Well, even the last 2 years, Georgia had a couple of games where it almost made people look at them and go like, dude, do you really need to be in the playoff? We're not sure about
that. South Carolina gave them a hell of a game yesterday. I'm just saying, I know there's people who listen to this podcast are adamant, I mean, absolutely adamant that they hate the transfer portal. The transfer portal has made college football better from a parity standpoint. It has.
It has spread the talent amazingly well.
So,
and I'm one of those guys where I always like a little bit of the power going to the players. And that's something that I think has needed to happen. And as much as, you know, Joe Moglia hates it. He and I, like, we disagree on this.
We do.
I love the portal. I love NIL because it's it's two things that have shifted the balance of power towards the players. Anyway, soapboxing. I'm going to shut up.
No. The only thing that's going to change, transfer portal is not going to go away. I will say the only thing that's going to change, NIL is going to go away, and the universities are going to end up paying these guys.
Well, I don't.
I mean, I guess it's still NIL. The money source is just.
It's still going to be NIL.
Yeah.
It's going to come up. Yes. The NC2A washed their hands of it 4 years ago. It's going to come at some point. You talk to Joe, you talk to Connor. This is going to come under the auspices of the university at some point.
You know, we're putting out content all week long, and we'd like you to listen or watch our content, including the Doc's Diagnosis presented by Centris Federal Credit Union. Fall is here, and it might be a great time to start planning and preparing for those home repairs or renovations that may be on the to-do list. Our friends at Centris Federal Credit Union can help you explore ways to check some of those renovations off your list with the financial help of a home equity loan or home equity line of credit. Visit centrisfcu.org today for more information. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. And Rob and I have a blast on Wednesday night. If you haven't watched Behind the Point Spread with Scott Spreitzer, you are missing out.
That might be the most information and the easiest to understand platform for that information.
And by the way, I know it's Behind the Point Spread, and we talk point spreads, but it's not a gambling show.
It is a college football show.
It really is. We take four games. We talk about them. Sure, we talk about the lines, but Scott's depth and level of information is absolutely astonishing.
Which one of the things Scott pointed out, I know I'm kind of tangenting here a little bit, so he's got a daughter who goes to Nevada Reno, where Jay Norvell left to go to Colorado State. He pointed out, and this was I thought this was kind of an interesting thing. When Norvell left Colorado State,
Nevada.
I'm sorry, I said Colorado. Yeah, sorry. He left Nevada to go to Colorado State. Thank you. He went full Deion. He pulled a ton of dudes, all those dudes.
You know why? Because he had to win right away. They want him to win.
He pulled a bunch of guys from Reno to Colorado State. It's no different.
It's a live show, Behind the Point Spread, on YouTube Wednesday night at 8 o'clock.
You can call in.
Yes.
You can message it on Facebook.
Yeah, it's all interactive.
You got a question, he'll answer it.
Yes. So make sure to make an appointment. The best way to do that, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. Subscribe. Also, special thanks to Husker Max for distributing this podcast. Head to HuskerMax.com for the latest news and opinion from a variety of voices. For Dr. Rob Zadiska, I'm Travis Justice. We'll see you next week on the Doc Talk Podcast, presented by Betfred Sports.